Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets were just defeated by the St. Louis Blues in a 3-2 shootout final. This is the Illegal Curve postgame podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by Richard Pollock. Richard, good afternoon, first of all. It's been a whole couple hours since we've seen you from this morning's Illegal Curve hockey show.
Drew, I've seen enough of you for a couple weeks.
I'm done with you for a while afterwards also. Really entertaining contest here at MTS Center this afternoon. Jets on the short end of a 3-2 margin, but they really did outplay St. Louis and deserved better than taking a defeat tonight.
They did, Drew. I thought that the Jets played front to back, you know, beginning to end. They played probably, you know, arguably their best game of the year, most complete game of the year. They restricted St. Louis from any real scoring chances aside from a couple. And you know what? They controlled the play. I thought Blake Wheeler was tremendous. The game was intense. I'll tell you again, the crowd is starting to feel playoffs, you can tell.
Yeah.
And the team is feeding off the crowd. The intensity, you know, for example, it's a 1 o'clock game. That's an early game. St. Louis was in town yesterday, but it's an early game for both squads. And it can one of those games where you kind of sleepwalk through the first little bit.
Yeah.
No sleepwalking.
Certainly no sleepwalking. I mean, this is sometimes the shots on goal are not emblematic of the actual game. In this case, it was in terms of how dominant the Jets were. The Jets outshot the Blues 41-16. In regulation and overtime. Neither team had any shots in overtime. So in regulation, in the 60 minutes of regulation play, the Jets outshot the Blues 41-16. But at the beginning, you know, at the first period mark, it looked like the Jets might not be a good day for the Jets as they were down 2-0 after the first period.
They were, but again, you know,
they had still outplayed them in the first period.
Outchanced them and outplayed them.
But if you tell, I mean, based on what we know about the St. Louis Blues and a Ken Hitchcock coach team, if you ever fall down 2-0 to them, you don't necessarily expect to come back into the game.
100%.
And I think it's a sign of a more mature Winnipeg Jets team that they did not get discouraged at all. They did not accept their fate being down 2-0 after 20 minutes. And they were able to tie it up and really take the play to the Blues the entire game.
Yes, they did. I mean, they took the play to the Blues the entire game. I mean, the first period, they took the play. They were down 2-0. We'll talk about the goals in a second. The second period, I thought, was just dominant performance.
Yeah, it was
the most dominant
20 minutes we've seen the Jets play this year.
Yeah, but like, St. Louis got a chance at the end of the period. But aside from that, it was just a dominating period. The Jets scored twice in the period. That, I think, was probably one of their best periods of the year. They came in the third period. I mean, the Jets didn't dominate necessarily, but St. Louis got nothing. So it was one of those, you know, you could tell that was one of those, we don't really want to lose the point periods.
Yeah.
We'll take our chance if we can get it, but the Blues certainly aren't taking many chances, and the Jets certainly weren't taking too many chances.
They take
more chances than the Blues do, but the Blues are a very conservative team, and I actually thought they made a few more mistakes than I'm used to them doing. I mean, generally they don't turn the puck over as they did today, especially in the neutral zone a bit. So there are a couple of things there if you're Ken Hitchcock you're probably going to want to work on, but if you're Ken Hitchcock, just from that perspective, before we get into the Jets side, you come in here, you get dominated. It's an afternoon game against an out-of-conference opponent. You got the 1 point. You probably would have been said, hey, 1 point against an out-of-conference opponent, we poorly fight. You got 2 points,
bonus.
You're laughing.
Yeah, absolute bonus. I mean, the Blues opened the scoring at the 7:43 mark of the first period. David Back is with his 18th of the year assist to T.J. Oshie and Andy McDonald. Really just a play on the Illegal Curve hockey show this morning. You mentioned that if you see Hainsey and Oduya together in the back end, they're going to be dominated on the forecheck by the Blues.
By the Blues, especially that, you know, and it happened to be that line that they matched up with for the most part all game. And that was the first line there, Backus and Oshie and whether it be McDonald or, it was McDonald on that shift too. So it was McDonald for the most part. But what happened there, Drew, is, you know, Oshie actually kind of worked over Thorburn. As the third, as the help forward on that play.
But even the
coverage out front was bad. Hainsey and Oduya got work there. You know, that back is Oshie, McDonald line. Oshie, I thought, was the best Blue tonight.
Today.
And that was just play off the boards. There was, you know, poor organization. Thorburn, who's a big boy, knocks into, I think it was Oshie. And Oshie's not a tall guy, but he's built like a truck. He's got a flurry-esque that way. And he bounced off and made a nice pass in front. And it was a really well-executed goal. And I'll tell you this. It's the kind of goal that St. Louis scores. They get the puck. They put it in deep. They work hard. They're working on the forecheck. They create off the boards, and they score. And it doesn't really cause – there's no risk involved in that, right?
Well, that's just it. When you're scoring from 2 feet in and around the net, and you're putting the puck in deep behind the opponent's net, nothing bad can happen there.
That's right. I mean, it's Ken Hitchcock team, right, Drew? I mean, you got to go 200 – you know, it's old cliche.
200 feet to score on
them. That's right.
Yeah, exactly right. It was at the 19-14 mark of the first period with 46 seconds left to go in the period that the Blues made it 2-0. David Perron is 12th of the year. Patrick Berglund and, again, TJ Oshie with another assist. You know, the Blues, you look at their offense, you look at their forwards, and that's just a nice forward group they have going there, and they're short, and they were a little short man today without Alex Steen, who's still out with his concussion, and Jamie Langenbrunner.
Really nice forward group once you have it. I like them to see them out of defense, preferably staying defense when if you're John Davidson and Doug Armstrong. But on that play, in the second goal, Enstrom kind of pinches the blue line there, gets caught. Bufflin comes over to help. Berglund's running down the right side on the boards. Didn't fully see the replay in terms of who was covering. I think it was Vander Kane who... almost dropped the paper down. I think it was Evander Kane who was covering on that play. It's Steve who was on.
Yeah, Kane, Stapleton, was on.
Yeah.
And Andropov.
Yeah, Andropov. It was Andropov, too, and they didn't have a great defensive play. And Berglund comes down the side, and Bufflin closes on him. Bufflin wants to block the pass.
Yeah.
Bufflin gets the pass gets through by Berglund, a beautiful pass to David Perron. David
just
Perron
a tip.
Is as good as you get in terms of hockey hands in the NHL. He grabs the puck, and Mason's got a chance because he's going to the right.
Yeah.
The Perron pulls him to the left.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Mason's going to the right. Perron pulls him...
to his left.
To his left.
Yeah.
Exactly right. I mean, just a nice goal.
Absolutely.
Well played. I mean, perfect pass. Soft hands. Boom in the back of the net. Jets, you know, as we talked about in terms of dominating, the shots on goal in that first period, 16-6 for the Winnipeg Jets, and they're down 2-0. Could have easily been a very demoralizing period for the Jets.
It could have been. And you walk out of it, we're talking here, and I thought... and. Chris walks by, Chris Kavayasik with the Jets walks by, said, you know, down 2-0 against a team that can shut it down, you outplayed them. It's a very discouraging period.
Yeah. Ken Hitchcock's team doesn't give up 2-goal leads very often. But to the Jets' credit, at the 7:19 mark of the second period, Blake Wheeler, who was the best player on the ice for either team by far in today's game.
Not even a question, really.
We've spoken about him a lot in the last, month, 2 months, but his combination of size and speed has proved to be just a
great.
He's sort of, you don't expect to see a guy who's sort of a late bloomer at this point. You don't expect to see him sort of understand what he's got and put it all together. But in the last 2-3 months, it looks like Blake Wheeler's really been putting it all together.
He
scores his 12th of the year, assist to Evander Kane and Dustin Bufflin.
This play goes all the way around.
This play starts behind the Jets' own goal.
Bufflin swings it around.
Around the net. To Evander Kane, who is at the left blue line, his own zone left blue line from our vantage point.
And then
point
Kane
right
just
now.
swings all the way down, and he, with great
going
speed,
right down
and,
those
and he shoots the puck. You know, he always shoots the puck. That's his move. But he doesn't shoot the puck high; he shoots the puck low.
Hard low wrist shot.
That's what they tell you to do if you're going to shoot the puck on the net. You don't think you have a great chance to score. Hard low wrist shot, and Blake Wheeler comes up, and
Wheeler's coming up the right wing
with
right
great
now.
Speed.
Yeah.
And the puck comes right out to him, and he puts it top corner where puts it in the net where it belongs.
That's right. A big rebound from Yaroslav Halak, who wasn't he made some very good saves, but I thought he was fighting the puck a little bit today.
It was a little bit, Drew, but I mean 41 saves.
Yeah, you can't criticize him too much.
38-9 saves.
Yeah, well, the Jets had 41 shots. Yeah. Exactly. Big rebound there that you would have liked to see him put off to the corner more so than right in front of the net.
Sure.
Wheeler pots it right in the back of the net. 2-1, the Jets are back into it. They've got their energy going again. It only took about another 8 minutes, just under 8 minutes later. Wheeler again with a second of the game, second of the period, 13th on the year. Assist to Andrew Ladd and Dustin Bufflin on that one. Again, sort of just a deep forecheck. You know, a shot from Bufflin on the net. Ladd digging around, doing in the dirty areas.
Working
right,
hard.
Sort of
Ladd's playing well lately.
Yeah, playing well. And by simplifying his game.
Yeah.
Just putting it in deep, doing the dirty work, a good cycle down
low
when necessary.
You know what we said, Evander Kane was driving the bus for his line early in the year?
Yeah.
Blake Wheeler's driving the bus for that line right now. No
Blake Wheeler's driving the bus for this team. I mean,
that's true also.
The crowd will
And with another mention, Drew, I mean, quietly, Dustin Bufflin's putting up insane
points.
30
points?
You know, I love Dustin Bufflin.
Yeah.
I think as a show, I think we've been pretty supportive of Dustin Bufflin, but...
his pros outweigh his cons is what we've been saying.
But I mean... he's putting up points right now. Like he's putting up more points than he probably has the highest points per game aside from Wheeler on the team over the past 12 games.
I would
say he's got. Yeah, Reem, if you can check on that, maybe what he's got, or maybe you
can't.
But
I can't because of the echo problem.
But we'll tweet that out. I mean, I think Bufflin's got something like 14 points in his last 10 games. I mean, he's a defenseman.
Yeah.
It's been great.
If he had been healthy all year, he'd be right up there with Erik Karlsson for the defensive in the NHL. Just smart plays, getting the puck through through from the point, and letting the guys do the dirty work in front of the net. You know, 2-2 after 40 minutes, a second period, the most dominant second period the Jets have played all year.
Yeah, just controlled the whole game, and they controlled the whole play. I mean, St. Louis was you know, they got the timeout after the second goal.
Yeah, the crowd was going ballistic.
Crowd was going ballistic. I mean, the crowd was in after it, like the first said. Goal. Yeah. After the first goal, crowd got really got into it. They started getting the go Jets go chance, and the Jets really did pick up their game there. They played extremely well, and you know, if you can play every period like that, which you obviously can't, but if you can, I mean, you're really, really looking good. A solid game, really solid defensively, and not just, you know, a specific defenseman or a particular forward.
Yeah.
A five-man unit, and that's a cliche again, but it's a Ken Hitchcock kind of thing, and then Claude Noel, who's coach with him, it's a five-man unit.
That's right. You got to have the forward supporting back and then being giving the assistance to the defense there. Yep. If it's a two-man unit, a three-man unit, you're usually going to be in trouble. Yep. Shots in the second period, 17-4 in favor of the Winnipeg
Jets. That's what the play was. I mean, that's no aberration in terms of chances.
Getting two goals was probably the least the Jets could do. They had a lot of other good chances.
They were chanced out there by 8-1.
They outchanced St. Louis 8-1 there. I mean, that's five, you know, you don't see exactly in 5-on-5, and the Jets had a number of power plays.
All game, they dominated them
in the second
Blues
period.
Blues had nothing
there.
All game.
Yeah, you could tell it was a well played game. Very few penalties. Three penalties in the entire game.
I thought the one that that Ryan Reeves got. The one Ryan Reeves got was probably a poor call, but aside from that, it was noticeable. And it's funny that they called that, the Ryan Reeves in the offensive zone, because in the third period they called nothing. There was a bunch of stuff.
There were a couple of holding the stick penalties where the ref willfully, you know.
Arden pulled the stick out of Randy Jones' hands, should have called that. Yep. They just weren't calling anything.
Yeah.
And you know what? I bet you the players say, as long as we know that, we're okay with it.
As long as you call it both ways, you're calling nothing. As long as you don't call anything on both sides, then you're okay. Game, third period, no scoring. Jets, you know, the Blues were quite content to go to take the 1 point and go to the overtime.
You know,
Jets had some good opportunities. Blake Wheeler got close on a couple of times to get the hat trick.
Yes, a couple late in the game there with 5 and 2 minutes left. But, you know, the Blues had one there. But, you know, overall, Drew, I thought that the Blues didn't have any, excuse me, third period. I mean, the Jets had a couple of chances, as you mentioned. I think the Wheeler play there. But aside from that, it was one of those periods where the neutral zone play, get the puck in, get the puck out, you know, not any penalties, right?
Yeah.
No penalties in third period. It went by really quickly. And, you know, not a lot of activity, and Ken Hitchcock's probably liking that, especially the way his team played in the first two.
Well, if the Jets had gotten some more activity, probably would be a Jets regulation win.
That's right.
Nothing in overtime. No shots on goal by either team in overtime, although I thought St. Louis controlled the majority of the play in overtime.
Yeah, they did control the puck, and the puck was on the outside for the most part.
Yeah, which is okay. We keep it to the outside, you're okay. But,
but they did have a couple dangles up and with a little bit of room there.
Yeah.
They had a really good chance. And then, of course, the only chance Winnipeg really had in the end was Byfuglien rushing down.
With seconds to go.
And he should have shot that because the pass to Kane was taken away. Byfuglien had a poor angle, but you can put that puck top corner.
He almost did. Yeah. A little too high, but he was close. Game goes to a shootout. Blake Wheeler shoots first to the Jets, scores on a nasty fake backhand go forehand. Yep. The movie you've seen a couple times now. I think you saw it last in Minnesota when the Jets won the NAS shootout. Fans threw some hats on the ice, you know, third goal of the game, but you know, not really. But anyways, fun. Andy McDonald matches that for the Blues.
With a nice move. And you know what? If you notice, if you watch the replay, he skates up and he stops, really, and then Mason's momentum takes him back, and he kind of has more of a hole than that, right? If you play hockey, you know that. If you slow down a bit, the goalie backs up. The further the goalie backs up, the more space
there is. The deeper the goalie's in his own net. If he's not
Mason's not a big goalie.
Right.
He doesn't wear huge pads. So there's spots generally, but you better back him up a little bit more.
Yeah. Anyways, ends up David Perron scores the winner in the fourth
nasty
round of the shootouts. Yeah, just
nasty
a nasty
hands.
Goal.
And if I recall correctly...
Yeah.
Well, he went backhand on that one. So he went forehand in the first one backhand. So he changed it up on Mason, too. Mason might have thought, hey, he went forehand on that play in the second, in the first period. Maybe he goes forehand again. Pulls him backhand. Roof.
Just a nice
roof.
Just a nice goal.
And I was actually surprised that he wasn't in the first three.
Yeah, no argument there. And it was odd because they went with Kevin Shattenkirk as the third run, a defenseman. I mean, look, the shootout. Who cares? Yeah. It's a breakaway competition.
It's a real joke. I can't believe they play the shootout anyways.
You know, at the beginning of the game, if you told the Jets they take 1 point from St. Louis, you're probably okay with that. St. Louis is, on paper, a better team than the Jets.
If you watch the game, though,
the Jets,
they let one get away today.
No, they deserve better. They deserve better, as it happens. You know, they weren't able to get that third goal. You're okay. I mean, you go into the dressing room, you're disappointed, but you're not hanging your head on this game.
No, exactly. But it's very funny, isn't it, guys? Like, you think about it. They go in, they play against Philly, they get utterly dominated by Philly, get a point. They play against the Blues. They utterly dominate the Blues.
And they get a point. I know.
So, you know, if you want to do even, Steven, it's like they won one, lost one.
There you go. Exactly right. Good win for the Blues. It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. Washington plays Toronto, a game that the Jets will be watching closely.
For the first time in history, it's possible that both teams will lose one game.
You're talking about the
same game.
The Capitals and Leafs are both going to lose, Florida plays Carolina tonight, so that's worth watching. Okay with the Jets and that they at least get the 1 point on this game.
Yeah,
you know, their worst case scenario, they're tied for the division lead.
Sure, I mean the division lead stuff.
I know.
If I see any more pictures on Facebook of somebody with their Jets in third, I'm gonna.
I know.
Break my computer.
I know you are. I know you are, my friend. I know you are.
As he uploads a picture of the Jets in third.
That's what Ezzy would be for. Jets next in action Monday, trade deadline day. NHL trade deadline day. You and I will be on TSN 1290.
I know.
12 till 4 on Monday, breaking down all the latest trades in the NHL. Of course, covering in-depth the Winnipeg Jets, what they're going to do.
You're going to have Rick Ralph come in and break the trades.
Rick
Ralph
Scott O'Neill.
Scott O'Neill. At our disposal.
Yeah, different reporters as we deem necessary, depending on the trades that go down.
Remus there all day.
Yeah, Remus, you're there all day. It'll be a very exciting day. And, of course, the Jets-Oilers later on Monday night here at MTS Center.
The Jets are so confident they might actually trade teams with them.
that's confidence. Must-win game on Monday night for the Jets. Stay tuned after this podcast for audio from both the home and away dressing room. For Richard Pollock, I'm Drew Mindell. We remind you to follow Illegal Curve on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Until Monday afternoon on TSN 1290, we wish you a good night.